All right, folks. Good evening. Good evening, insiders. Good morning to Tarkan. Got to go against the grain. Welcome back to another QS cast. I believe this will be a normal cast. We trying to cast on our, normal time as much as we can. Trying to get better at that. But it'll be much better once you return to the States as well. So that'll be happening soon for you, Tark. Glad you could join us. Good morning. I know it's early. Thank you all for kind of joining us tonight. I know it's getting kind of late, on the eve of the Pro Tour. So, we'll go into the Pro Tour and, that'll be kind of be first, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. I know a lot of more discussions have been, going on about, Ultimate Masters. So we're going to cover that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, just really quickly, just for the, I know we kind of talked about it before we started recording, but just really quickly on our kind of schedule for the big LGS is coming on to do vendor casts. So we have CK tentatively set for the 30th, right?
CK's Card Kingdom is locked in for November 30th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It will be Damon Morris, who is the co-owner with John Morris of Card Kingdom. They run the ship. I mean, we can't get any higher than that. So just like Channel Fireball, you'll be getting it straight from the horse's mouth. Anything you want to ask about Card Kingdom, everything's been happening over the last year. This is going to be Damon's third cast, maybe fourth? I think third. Maybe third. It's his fourth cast, actually. Yeah, third. This will be Damon's third cast. He really likes coming on, and obviously so much has changed since we spoke with him. I think it was was it November of last year, Chaz? Maybe it was earlier than that. It was quite some time ago.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
But obviously, Card Kingdom has blown up in just a year from where they were even last year. So, and everything with their buy list, their prices, to their impact in old school and all of this. So there's going to be a ton to talk about. So I'm very, very excited to have him on. He loves coming on. So that'll be a great one. And then, Channel Fireball, as I mentioned before we started recording, I just want to make sure you guys have a heads up. That's why I ping everybody with that. We're trying to work out scheduling. It's not always easy with four different people all over the place. That's tentatively on. I think we're going to try for tomorrow. If we don't get them tomorrow, we're shooting for next week. But it's coming together. And again, I'm only sending out those blasts to make sure you guys have as much notice as possible that it's coming together. So whenever I have an update, I will let everyone know in the chat room, in the cast room.
All right, sweet. On to the Pro Tour. So just for insiders, business as usual, it will be covered the same. QS staffer David Schumann will be in attendance. So it'll be kind of great that, we're trying to find folks that have some sort of background in this to kind of know what they're looking for. So it's really great that David kind of is doing this for us, and we'll be relaying all the information and just kind of normal stuff, folks. At this point with Pro Tour coverage, it's just really best to be on Discord. I mean, I post them in the forums too, for those of you that still use it, but they will be emailed. There will be the updates will be emailed, posted in the forums and in Discord for anyone that doesn't get the emails. If you're not getting the emails like during the day, it's really hard for me to kind of address that like while it's going on. So that's kind of why I say this beforehand, like every single time. It's just not, something that I could deal with during the Pro Tour coverage. So yeah, if you can't read the emails, just see them on Discord. There's going to be a lot of discussion. Just kind of same kind of format. So that being said, what do you feel like is going to happen with the Pro Tour, Tark? I mean, the one thing I like to do, at least for before Pro Tour, is kind of see what's leading up into it. I also like to look overseas, try to see any results there. Just kind of anything that may pop up that is kind of out of the norm. And really what I'm looking for is, I think at this point, I don't know if I want to be in anything Guilds of Ravnica. I mean, at this, a lot of the values of these cards have not decreased much. It seems like the demand and supply are pretty, lockstep. So really what I'm looking for is Dominaria, Ixalan Block, and preferably, mythics out of those sets. Core 19. Problem is I'm not finding too many. I don't know if it's like just going to be one of those pro tours where if you're already holding the stuff, it's kind of better. I don't know really what more can increase at this point. I know there's kind of like this underlying tone that the Izzet list is looking really strong. A few folks in the Discord, coach and whatnot, are sending some strong signals that it's going to be a deck. I don't doubt it. But at this point, it's like what actually just continues to increase in that deck. I mean, Sulfur Falls, Steam Vents, Arclight Phoenix, like those are already fairly expensive.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think I have to check, but Niv-Mizzet Perun, has that sort of, that's like $6 now, right? $5-$6?
No. Well, it's been slowly and steadily increasing from like a dollar-ish. It's probably up to like $2 or $3. Like it's pushing like $3. So I mean, there may be some value there.
That's got cross deck appeal in the Jeskai control decks, along with Azor, which by the way, just a quick comment on Azor bylisting for like $1 to $2, which means it was feasibly a $2 card, which was, it's higher than bulk. I just want to point that out. It's no longer like complete and utter bulk. But in any case, the stuff from, I'm looking at the Jeskai control list. I want to make sure that that's put out there. But
I love this chat. Sorry.
Niv-Mizzet Perun is one that I'm looking at just because it's cross deck appeal in the control decks. It's also in the Drake's. I mean, it's in the sideboard of the Drake's deck. The Drake's deck is a lot of commons and uncommons, honestly. Like, all the value as far as rares mythics is in the cards that have already, spiked. I mean, like, it's an Arclight Phoenix. That's pretty much it. Like, Enigma Drake and Cackling Drake's, like, I mean, I guess those could be blow-up uncommons, but they're already both. I mean, I think Cackling Drake is already, like, $1 or something like that, or close to it. So, the rest of the deck is commons and uncommons for the most part. And Sulfur Falls is Steam Vents, which the lands, those have already spiked. So, I don't know. I mean, Niv-Mizzet Perun, it's in variety of decks. Honestly, maybe Settle a Wreckage, because that's in sideboard, that's in the control decks. The other one, the other Wrath, Cleansing Nova? Yeah, Cleansing Nova.
Yep.
That's Core 19. That might have some upside. I mean, it's only like a 2-of or something like that, 2 or 3-of, but there's not much. I agree with you. I mean, the problem is Guild of Ravnica made a huge splash and the prices have not gone down, and all the Dominaria, all the staples from that are high already, the mythic staples especially. So it's like you got Core and Ixalan, and I think we were discussing this in the chat. It's like you said, Chaz, Core, Ixalan, Rivals, and it's like, okay, well, Search for Ezcanta has played, that's already high, Cleansing Nova, maybe there's something there, but there's Settle the Wreckage that might, but I think Settle the Wreckage has been creeping itself too. I think it's back to like $8 or more, maybe. I don't think it's $5 or $6 anymore. There isn't a lot. There really isn't a lot. They've made the Pro Tour really hard. I mean, this one is particularly unique in that it's not like we had release. And then there was kind of, the set kind of had some impact, and then the cards tanked, and then, Torrential Gearhulk was able to spike again, right?
Right.
We're not having that. We've got Guild of Ravnica out the gates, like blow it out the water out the gates, and just hold. I mean, the prices have gone up. I mean, prices have gone up on a lot of these cards. So it's really hard. I mean, Teferi, there's no money left to be made in Teferi.
No.
And if you just look at the current, okay, now obviously anything that breaks out, there could be actionables there, but if we just go off the data we have, and people teasing that something like Izzet Drake's is awesome, well, there's just not a ton there really.
I mean I was just kind of addressing chat, and I wanted to put the player of the year playoff deck lists into the insider chat. I mean, again, like, this is kind of even a little bit of a preview into what we may be seeing tomorrow. And, just to kind of echo what you were just talking about, Tark, I mean, it's kind of, you know, I'm expecting innovative decklists in terms of they're really tuned, but short of nothing that we've seen, there's just not a lot to really point out. I mean, you got mono blue, this is kind of like a little bit of a prelude. Seth Manfield, I mean, you have red, white, aggressive, you have mono blue tempo, mono red aggro, is at Drake's, white aggro, red aggro, blue tempo, and Jeskai control. And it's just like, what do you like hone in on? I mean, Tempest Jhin?
Tempest Jhin is not a bad one. I'll tell you this, that the Bylas and Tempest Jhin have consistently been going up and have been holding. It was like almost $2 there for a minute, or was $2, it cracked $2. So that's not horrible. What do you think of Shalai, Chaz? And what do you think of Ajani? So Shalai from Dominaria and Ajani from Core.
Yeah, so I was actually kind of looking at Ajani. I definitely saw some signal beacons of certain folks competing looking for Ajani. So it's going to show up in some capacity. I mean, it's like at that kind of price point. It's like $12. I don't know, like, really how much more it can increase. I mean, it would really have to, like, blow.
Yeah, I'd have to dominate
the competition out of the water. Yeah. So it's like just at that price point. If it was maybe like $8, $6, now we're talking. But it's just like just at that price point where it's like a little too high to want to be really going deep on this for Pro Tour speculation, or just to have to just for inventory to sell during the Pro Tour. If you have folks coming in, you have players coming in looking for it. I don't. Like, it's good to stock, obviously, because they will sell, but I don't think it's a card that folks should be, like, aggressively buying for Pro Tour hype.
Yeah, we really need to dominate, and, you know, Takali Honor Guard, that was a bold pick of mine a couple weeks ago. That's already jumped. That's jumped already.
That was a good one.
You're on March of the Multitudes. Has that jump? I think it has, right?
Sorry, which card are you talking about?
March of the Multitudes.
Yeah, again, all of these cards are like fairly high, you know, pretty highly priced. I mean, it's still like $10.
I mean, I guess Venerated Loxodon is kind of cheap still-ish, maybe? I think those are what? Are those a couple bucks?
I think it's in the guild kit.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's in the guild kit. That's why, you know, a lot of folks were actually really going to go pretty deep on that card, and then they announced the guild kits, and it like kind of blew that up.
How much is Imara?
Imara? Imara, a couple bucks.
Yeah, I mean, a couple. I mean, that might not be bad. That's a key in the tokens deck. It's just tough because these rares. The problem is because guilds is worth so much in the mythics and in the staples. Right. There's just not a lot of money to go around. Realistically,
even Niv-Mizzet. Like, if Niv-Mizzet is everywhere and it's doing well, like what could like possibly be the max? Like, I think it would probably be okay.
$5 or $6. Maybe $6. It caps out. Maybe $8. Okay, the Pro Tour. Maybe it hits $10 of the Pro Tour max. $8 to $10.
Sure, that's kind of where I was thinking. So like $2 to $3 Niv-Mizzet's copies are okay. I mean, they were obviously a lot better a couple weeks ago.
You're probably safe at $2 to $3, and it's probably going to be at the Pro Tour enough. It's probably going to see camera time at some point that you're probably going to lose money on that. But it's hard. Yeah, this one is really hard. I mean, the stuff from Core, like I said, I mean, Cleansing Nova might be interesting. Settle the Wreckage might be interesting, but those are board wipes, and board wipes usually have a soft ceiling of like, you know, $6 to $8, and I think those cards are already.
I can't remember an expensive board wipe. Like, it's been a while. Well,
Settle the Wreckage was $20, but yeah, I mean, they usually don't get there. And Cleansing Nova, I don't think Cleansing Nova, I think you can get fairly cheap. I think if out of the two, that's the one I would be on more. But even then, you know, you're looking probably similar to what we were just talking about at about a $6 to $8, or maybe $8. You know, I just don't think it's going to hit settle. Like, it's not a 4X over the place.
I meant before settle. Sorry. Like, it's very far in between when board wipes actually cause anything.
Yeah.
So
like, the Immortal Sun is already expensive.
Yeah. I mean, everything's just getting expensive. So, So this is a question from the chat. What do you like Tristani? I'm assuming Tristani 2.0 from Guilds. I've said it before. I will say it again. I definitely like Tristani for the amount of play that Tristani is like being played, like the percentage wise. Like I still don't think it should be a sub $5 card. So, you know, I know the like argument, well, you know, legendary and this, that it's played as like a solid anywhere from like 2 to 4 copies.
It's a 3 of usually. Yeah,
it's like average. usually anywhere from like 2 to 4, usually 3.
Yeah, that one's not horrible. But again, the problem is, I know. These cards have ceilings because other stuff is soaking up all the value. Like you're not going to have EV that's like $110 with a $25, $30 Triscani. Like it's not going to, like, I just don't see it happening. Like something would have to dip. So one staple would have to just bomb out of the Pro Tour and drop in value. Like people would have to start dumping something. I'm just going to throw out, you know, Arclight Phoenix or whatever. Like someone would have to dump something and Tristani just like the value shifts over. Right.
Yeah.
Which I suppose that's possible, but I don't see just more and more cards just going up and nothing going down. Like something's going to have to lose value for these to take up, for something like Tristani to like pop, really pop. I mean, even at the Pro Tour, like, okay, even if you say, okay, well, at the Pro Tour, anything can happen. Yeah. Okay. So Tristani, maybe over the weekend, Tristani, if tokens just blows up, Tristani maybe gets to like $15.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's probably where I see it going.
And then it crashes. Like it's going to crash over the weekend. Like I don't see it again unless something else crashes. If the value, if value shifts from Guilds, sure. But you're really taking a lot of risk. I suppose if you get Tristani at 3, it pops over the weekend to 10 to 15, and then drop tanks down to like 6 or 7. Yeah, you're okay.
You're
right?
Still fine. Yeah,
you're fine. So
yeah, that's plenty fine.
I guess out of Guilds, maybe that's the best one. And you know, Tristani's in a deck that he's fairly, you know, regular play.
Yeah.
It's competitive. So you're not losing money. So that's probably out of all the Guilds cards that we look at, that, and I mean, because that's a mythic. So that's better than Niv-Miz. Niv-Miz is a rare, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, obviously between those two, I see more upside in Tristani considering they're both almost the same cost. Mm. It's not bad, but you know, just keep in mind that even something like Tristani, first of all, it has to do well, right? But mm-hmm. I guess at this point you're picking things that you're not going to lose money on, as opposed to going deep on things that have a ton of upside potential. Like I would say right now, like these cards we're talking about, you're just going, well, I'm not going to probably lose much money, if any money at all, and let me just see, maybe it'll work out, right? That's yeah. I think the best we have for this Pro Tour. Outside of, you know, barring breakout decks and new tech and all that, which I haven't heard of anything. All we've gotten from the chat is pretty much like, watch out for, is it Drake's? Other than that, like, you know, any new brews I don't know of, and I'm not seeing anything, and I haven't heard anything through the grapevine. So Chaz, if you have any intel on that you want to share, maybe you know, but for myself, I don't know. So just going off the data that we have of the beta, it's sort of like this Pro Tour feels like, you know, put some money in some stuff that you're probably not going to lose money on and just see what happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing about like Tristani, it's why I kept like bringing Tristani up actually, is I just can't see it going much below $3. So I kind of feel like that $2 to $3 range is pretty much where it will sit. And any play, obviously, if it's showcased and it's in a deck that's really successful and it breaks out, it's all upside. So that's really the only reason why I wanted to own some number of copies of that card. And I mean, it is a pretty solid card and a mythic, but yeah, I mean, again, just going through back all the points that you just said. No, I haven't heard anything from the grapevine. I do like to tend to browse rogue deck lists, you know, try to look at even other results. Like even I peruse like Haruruya, the deck results from over there. One card that kind of popped out at me, and I have seen it increase not only on like the reporting sites like MTG Stocks, but also popping up like on 5-0 deck lists, and apparently there has been some finishes in hold on, let me pull it up. Yeah, so 5-0 finishes, and then just like 3-0 deck lists at like the Paruya Tournament Center. But there is like this black red like sort of like aggressive list that's been circulating around. BR Burn. And it's starting to kind of pick up some speed. I saw some like 5-0 lists. It's not getting like a ton of coverage, but the decklist looks pretty good, and it's running Angrath, the Flame Chained. So that is the card that I kind of saw pop up on reporting sites. And, you know, like I said, I was kind of perusing.
Angrath is like what? Angrath, I think, is $8?
Like six-ish, $6 to $8.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's not like a super awesome buy-in either. You know, it's kind of suffering from the like Ajani syndrome.
Yeah. I think Ajani has more hope than Angrath. I mean, I might eat my words on that, but I don't know. I feel like out of the two, Ajani has more of a shot.
I mean, I could get blown up, but like, you know, if you can get like $5 to $6 Angrath, they are selling. Like the price has been slowly increasing, so it's not like it's just a dud. But
yeah, the buy list, I think the buy lists are at like $5.
Yeah, so if you can get them at or around like that price, the problem is like, do you really see $15 Angraths? Like,
I just don't. That's the thing. I don't.
I can see
a world or a weekend of like $25 Ajani's, but I can't right. see a weekend. Like,
I could,
like
yeah,
$25.
I could see Ajani at 25. Like, can you actually realistically see Angrath at like $15 to $20?
Not really. No. I mean, I can't. Maybe it happens, right? We might turn around and go,
well, it could definitely happen, but
yeah. I'm not seeing it. Personally, what about Thorn Lieutenant? That's a four
like that
card. That's a 4x.
I also like Treasure Map, but that card's already like $6.
Which one?
Treasure Map, but that card's already like $6.
Yeah.
A Rekindled Phoenix is still like $30 for some reason, but sure. The card just never wanted to decrease and always just wanted to, you know, slap me in the face for never like even talking about that card.
Yeah.
I think now going forward, I will just always buy Red Mythic Phoenixes. This is like, I'm like basically 1.5, like barely one out of two.
As long as like, it's a mythic.
I did it. Yeah, as long as it's a mythic, it has to be a mythic. If it's not a mythic, I don't care. But if it's a mythic Phoenix, I'm buying it no matter what. Like, that's it. Like, I'm done.
I think that's a fair strategy.
What?
I think that's a fair strategy. I'm looking at Thorn Lieutenant. I'm not a fan. It's like, it's $4 already.
Yeah, it's like, so really, what? I mean,
the pickings are really slim this time.
It's very slim. Like even Midnight Reaper, like even as like a low, like flying under the radar, like it's a pretty strong card. It does see play in a couple archetypes. $2. Like what am I supposed to do
listen,
with this?
On a macro level, this speaks to how awesome Standard is right now.
Oh, which yeah, definitely.
Great time to be playing Standard. And the Pro Tour should be awesome, but actionables, I really think the strategy going into this is let me find a few things that I'm not going to lose money on and just roll the dice, to be completely honest with you.
Right.
There's just nothing that stands out. Again, we could have, you know, breakouts, and if we have a breakout, then, you know, we'll be on top of it and you'll get all that information to you. But from the data we have now, there's a couple things that might work, you know, but Guilds is tough. You know, even Tristani out of Guilds is tough. Ajani's like already expensive. It would have to really hit hard. You know, board wipes are board wipes. They're kind of meh. Maybe
Angrath,
you know,
like not feeling.
Angrath is
ready.
Is kind of meh. Yeah, it's tough. This is really tough.
Yeah, looping back around, like Shalai's like $6 already. Like I remember that. Like, you know, we would have to be buying that at like $1. Like. It was $1 at one point, but it's like $6 now. It's been routinely seen.
Yeah, and Dominaria also has, you know, Dominaria has, there's too much value on the top end and in the lands, right? Like, there's not, Dominaria and Guilds of Ravnica just don't have much money left without sacrificing money, you know, and the problem, especially with Dominaria, the mythics are so good and they're just not going to go down in value. The lands are so good, right? Where's the value going to move from? You know what I mean? And it's kind of the same thing with Guilds. The Guilds staples are such core staples. You know, a deck would have to tank, and like Tristani decks would have to just blow through for the value to shift around, you know?
Right. So, I mean, and again, like, the money's in, yeah, I mean, I agree. The money's in, like, Ixalan block, but what cards? I mean, there's no cards. I mean, Rekindling Phoenix already expensive. Angrath, like, okay, yeah, maybe we can get there with Angrath, but, you know, Treasure Map is $6. Like, all these cards, like, it's going to be tough. We would have to have just a deck that no one saw coming, a new brew that just blows up and plays a card that no one's playing, whether it be rare or mythic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure. Path to Metal. But like, what's the absolute ceiling on Path to Metal? Like a few dollars? I mean, I get it. Like if you're picking them up at like 40 cents, that's great. And they go to like $3-4. Like I'm totally fine with that. But
I mean, Legion's Landing is expensive.
That's not even an actionable.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Like all the uncommons are, you know, already at $1 or, you know, or more.
What about Karn?
Karn is Karn. So it sees play in eternal formats. And I don't think it's doing much currently in standard. It's not in the control decks, is it? I don't believe it is. Karn sees eternal play, and it's kind of got the Karn factor, and that's where, like, it's Karn. It's just not going to go down, right? Will it go up? I don't think so. I don't think it's in these control decks. It's mostly Teferi.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a look to confirm that.
Yeah, Vintage and Legacy play, not a ton of, like, standard play anymore. But if Karn, what's even Karn sitting at right now? Karn's
still like $30.
25.
Yeah, 25, 30 bucks.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a ton. I'm like even, and this is coming from someone who even likes penny stocks and like rares and everything. Like I will literally scrounge for anything, especially when it comes to a pro tour. But I'm not seeing a whole lot. So,
I mean, Azor's Gateway is like, it's like $12 or more. Star of Extinction is like $6 or $7.
Yeah.
I mean,
unless we have some new information from David, it's going to be probably a very even tempered pro tour. I mean, that's just what I see happening.
Sorry, Chaz, you broke up there and I didn't hear your last David.
Oh, I said short of David providing us new information tomorrow, I'm seeing like a very even tempered pro tour.
What's Nicol Bolas at? Is that still $20?
The flip Bolas?
Yeah.
What the hell is that card even called? Nicol Bolas the Ravager?
Yeah.
It's like 20.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not gambling on that to go to $40 or no. I mean, it's just, it's
slim pickings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like a silver pass, but it's kind of where we're at. You know, like it's just the problem is guilds is so strong, you know, and the value in a lot of these sets is already soaked up in the staples, and they haven't gone down; they've just gone up. So, you know, I think we're looking at the ones we called out as, you know, maybes were Tristani. That's not bad. I think the board wipes are fine, and they may have room to double up. I like Cleansing Nova more than I like Subtle Wreckage. Shalai, maybe. Angrath, maybe. Although I would say that's a lower on the list. Niv-Mizzet, Powerin, maybe. Maybe that gets to $8.
Yeah, that's probably the best bet.
Yeah,
is Niv-Mizzet.
You know, that might get up to like $8, $8 to $10.
Yeah, so at three, like $2 to $3, it's still a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short of that, I mean, you know, enjoy the Pro Tour coverage that we always kind of provide. I'm kind of hoping David, you know, gives us some new information. We'll track it as early as we can. David will be showing up pretty early. Did not get a chance to go tonight and like kind of go around the vendors, so we don't have like super early reports from the vendors, but we'll still get there early enough that we'll be ahead of the curve as normal.
Yeah, George, G-Tutor mentioned Benelish Marshall. I was looking at that too, but again, running into the issue with Dominaria is that the lands and mythics have so much of the value. I mean, yeah, maybe Benelish hits $5 over the weekend. That could be possible. So if you get them at $1.50, $2 a month, it might not be bad. But again, that white weenie deck or whatever it is, that humans deck or whatever that aggro, white aggro deck is, it needs to do really well, you know? So, yeah, that's... I would say Benelish Marshall's probably not that great, just because I don't know how much of a punch that deck would really have to blow up for it to get to like $5. Teferi, no. Teferi's tapped out. Teferi's tapped out.
Buy a listing for $48 at GP Atlanta.
Yeah, MTG Deals is buying Teferi's for $48. I'm glad actually that was mentioned. I'm gonna comment on that real quick. Do not take vendor list GPs as an indicator of mass market movement. The reason for that is a lot of those prices at GPs are very, very, those are like insulated ecosystems and like they don't necessarily, what a lot of times those vendors are doing, buy super high, they can make a dollar or two on them over the weekend, or they already have preset relationships or preset.
Tark, hello? Tark, shoot.
In the broader market.
Well, Tark so just was because... making a good point.
What's that?
You cut out, big time.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, you all right there?
Can I be heard?
Your hello? Mic is like your fantasy team from Scott. Hello, Tark. You're killing me.
Hello.
Yeah. What's up, bud?
All right. So I, what did I? I think I cut out at.
You cut out making a point about.
So we had Jeremy on talking about the GP ecosystems. Long story short, they're not the best barometers for mass, like what's going on in the broader market. Yeah, sometimes they can indicate, but what a lot of times these GP vendors are doing are they're buying cards aggressively to sell them over the weekend, or they have preset deals going on for the event that they're going to have at the event. So don't take GP prices to necessarily always be an indicator, especially with standard stuff. Like GPs, a lot of vendors aggressively buy standard cards so that they can flip them over the weekend for like maybe $1 or $2 each. So yeah, I know that's to say that I don't think Teferi has much more room to go, regardless of a $48 buy. Like MTG Deals does that. They buy cards at ridiculous prices, flip them either at the event for like $1 or $2 each or whatever for tiny margins, or they also flip them to other vendors. They have you know, a lot of vendors have relationships, preset deals set up with other merchants. So
yeah, so Sean, has anyone come in and bought those cards? Because that's been a deck list for a little while now. So Sean is talking about the deck list with Tetvoya? No, Trogar? Which one are you thinking of? Anyway, there is a deck list with like Bone Dragon floating around. I do think Bone Dragon would be a really good buy-in, especially a very cheap mythic, but I just don't know like how much, you know, percentage of play it would even see. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly
Well, Bone Dragon is pretty cheap, yes.
I am not personally echoing. It is me echoing through Tark. So, yeah. Tetvoya is the play a land, draw a card, legend. Oh, okay. Yep, you're right. It's my bad. There was also another one with Trogar. But, yeah. I mean... you don't have much to lose with Bone Dragon either way, so if you want to hedge, like, by all means, but I guess we'll know really soon.
Do you want to talk about Ultimate Masters?
Yeah, let's kind of wrap this up, because there's been a lot of discussion even after we kind of casted, like, really early. The set was basically just released that day. There's been discussion since then. Obviously, it's spreading like wildfire. Everyone's talking about it. Do you have any second thoughts or any new kind of takes on the set after, you know, the last, you know, say 24, what was it, 24 to 48 hours since we cast it last, and everyone kind of talking about the set?
Yeah, so my position on the box toppers and the sealed boxes of Ultimate Masters has not changed. I feel like this is the best product that they've released in a long time as far as an investable product. If you can get boxes at $250 or less, I would buy them. Easily, these boxes are going to end up being $400 or more.
Does it concern you? Now, again, this is like someone, I don't deal with a lot of sealed products short of, you know, buying stuff from Hasbro Toy Shop, you know, that kind of like specialty product. And I guess I would kind of maybe categorize this as a specialty product still. I guess, you know, because that's the kind of way they're seeing it. Does it concern you that many outlets are selling this for like $100 lower than MSRP?
No, because it is the holidays. So even these companies have to budget out and get these out the door. I actually think that this buy or sell at $250 is probably fair, if not a little low. I don't think the MSRP is that bad, and I don't see that the fire selling this much is an indication of there being a problem. Mostly because we have nothing to suggest that there's going to be a second wave of this. So all these companies just push the stuff out the door, shore up the money. They're making a profit on these boxes anyway. At $260, they're making like, I think, 50 bucks a box probably, or more, 50 bucks with this. So I don't see that as being an issue, especially given that we don't know how much, like, nobody knows what their allocation really is. I mean, the big boys know, but the smaller stores that I've talked to don't know what their allocation is. If Sean is in the chat, maybe he can speak to this. But no one's exactly sure what their allocation is going to be from what I've read. And definitely, there's no indication that there's going to be a second wave. So I actually think that we're going to be we could run into the situation where everybody fire sells, and then there's way less of this available for an extended period of time. People are affected. Am I being heard? Am I good?
You're being heard, all right. Steady your mic, please. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm not morning shaving or something. What are you up to?
I'm not on mic. Hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah. You're all over the place this morning. I was trying to let Tark finish his point. I'm sure that's going to sound terrible in the recording, but you all just have to deal with it. But yeah, so I'll let Tark remake his point. This is kind of my point. And again, this is someone that, you know, I don't really deal with sealed product all too much. Again, like maybe the specialty products from Hasbro. I do feel that there's some kind of misinformation going on, and I think the box topper mapping, especially like the packs, is getting a bit blown out of proportion. Because for like every one person that says, "Oh, well, you know, I can map it. Like, look at me. Like, I can see the card inside." There's like 10 people that said they can't. I know a lot of, you know, eyewitness accounts, especially in the Discord. Efren being one of them, you know, an insider that does come on and cast occasionally, and I quote, has used a flashlight that could blind the sun, you know, tried to look through these packs, and it's just not happening. So I don't know. The problem is now there's like so much of this perpetuated, and there's videos being released, and, you know, it's just being turned into a big, you know, non-issue that folks are going to actually just believe this now. So I do think long term it may damage the loose box toppers, so you may just want to just crack those anyway. So I just don't know. I don't know if there's just enough of like kind of damage done, collateral damage done with all this like non-issue and turning this into a big thing, and like one out of 20 people can map it, so it's obviously don't ever buy any of these.
So here's the thing. I think that
I just think it'll be a problem long term. I do think it may be a problem.
I don't agree. I think this will come and go. I think this will come and go like everything else. People will forget about the the rare instances where apparently there's some mapping going on. Look, my first position on it was there's not enough evidence. And then I watched the video that so Tulane Community College posted this video, and of course now everybody's into this, but he posted this video by I don't forget what group that demonstrated how they were able to do it. I'm still not convinced because there's been too many other accounts of people not being able to do it. So I don't see this as being an issue. And I don't see it being a long-term issue because I think what's going to happen is these few isolated incidences are going to be forgotten about and the pack's going to still be $100 or more. So my position on this set has not changed. I'm very bullish on it. At this, especially at $250 or less, I think it's a hard buy. I think the box toppers are going to hold value. Yeah, maybe this in this short period while when the set is fresh, maybe there's like some worry about the box toppers. I think that's going to go away, especially long term.
Yeah.
12, 24 months, no one is going to care. Nobody's going to think that they've been mapped or they're getting ripped off. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think this set is awesome. And I think we may end up being surprised as to, like all this fire selling to me. I think even if the set is the rest of the set is garbage, right? If we've seen the best of the best,
yeah,
I still think $250 is still a buy. I still think these are going to be $400 boxes. And I still think we're going to be surprised as to how, I think the supply probably from what we've seen from the fire sales and the amount quantity sold seems like it's probably going to be on par with Modern Masters 2017. So assume Modern Masters 2017 plus upside of box topper plus upside of not knowing what is left to be spoiled in the set. It's a home run in my opinion. Like it's a home run. Like if you're buying these boxes $250 or less, it's a slam dunk. If you're buying it $300 or more, that's more risky and you're tying up your money, a lot more money for a lot longer. But you have to remember these boxes are pretty expensive for stores. Stores have to get rid of them. The big stores don't have to get rid of them and the distributors don't have to get rid of them. So like I spoke about last time, what I think is going to end up happening is a lot of this stuff is going to be opened by players and or concentrated among a few major players. That's going to cause a supply glut, and that's going to make the prices go up because it's in the distributor's best interest to pop up the price, and it's in the store, these big stores' interest to raise the price once they've gotten rid of what they need to get rid of, and you know they're able to hold on to some. But the small store, the LGSs, are going to have to get rid of them. No LGS is going to be able to sit on 100 boxes, 200 whatever boxes, and just wait till they go up, especially around the holidays. No LGS can afford to do that, or at least.
And just to be clear, I do agree that it shouldn't be an issue. That it is not an issue. My point was, is the misinformation or pushing of it is an issue going to affect prices? So yeah, I guess like the argument being made that it will just turn out to be a non-issue and fade away with time. That's probably true. I do think in the short term that it could end up being a problem until folks like just inevitably, kind of start cracking these. And I think Polar Bear said it best. Once it releases, every Joe and their dog attempts to map the box toppers, and when that fails, it'll die down. So I do agree. I do also somewhat agree that this is like easy money. There's certainly enough value. I don't know if we can compare this to other Modern Masters because they're not other Masters sets. Like this is totally a different entity of its own, and weren't like I can't remember off the top of my head. I believe it was there was Masters 2015 and then 2018, 2017?
2017.
15 and 17, right?
Yes.
One of those, I believe it was 15, but it might have been 17, was like one of the worst investments. So
neither of them were bad investments. The problem
I
with
believe the, one of them was really bad.
No, the problem with M15, M15,
yes,
M15 at the time was they upped the supply like 50x from M13 or more. I mean, it was massive amount of supply, which no one was expecting. But those boxes are back up to like $300. M15 is expensive now. M17 is expensive. All those, if you held on to those, they're both money. M17 is just going to keep going up. Look, I said this last week, like way early, and I know it's been, I know other content creators have now said it, but this is not something that I'm pulling from other content creators. I made this point last week when we casted. This is the first of its kind, all right? This is setting a precedent for this whole box topper gimmick and all this stuff. These, like when you have something at launch that is new and is the first time that they're doing something. It's like when the first Modern Masters came out, right? That product was the first of its kind. So these are highly investable products. And just because you're seeing fire sales at 200, I think fire selling $250 is, it almost humors me because these boxes
that does seem pretty very, very low, very, very low.
These boxes are going to be worth more. And I can assure you that it's probably, I'm almost positive it's related to, well, holiday budgets, an expensive product, end of the year, like no one can really, not many people want to be sitting on this, right? And that's right. What it's going to be.
They want the cash.
And look, it's really important to note that when was the last time a master set would fire sell at $270? It wasn't the last two master sets. They were fire selling at $150. So yeah, these stores are going to fire sell at $110 to $120 more. Of course they are. Now, granted, the product is more expensive, but that just adds more rationale to why they're being fire sold. So again, I think the most important thing to take away is that I do not believe, there's no evidence to suggest so far that there's going to be a second wave, right? And once these are blown out, I think players are going to open them en masse, and they're going to be, then the rest of the supply is going to be concentrated at the top end, and that's going to be it. I love the box topper sealed. I think this whole mapping thing is it's come and go issue. I would not be cracking box toppers if I had it. I would be holding on to those things because in two years, those things are going to be over $100 each. So I think the interesting thing that we were talking about in the cast or on the chat relating to supply is that it's easier to get the box topper version of the card than it is to get the foil version of the card.
Interesting. Yeah.
So particularly the rares of the middle. So what this will be really interesting to see what this will kind of show us is what the demand for that premium product, you know, the premium box topper version is, especially when there's more supply. So if the box topper Goyf is $150, you better damn well believe the foil version better be at least $150 if there's less supply and it's still a Goyf with the same art. Right? Like this will be interesting to see how much of that full art makes a big difference. You know, that design change makes a big difference when there's more supply of that than there is of the traditional foil. That to me is very interesting. So there's a ton of factors here to consider in like the value of these boxes. Like we haven't even talked about foil, like the foils of these, right? Like you have box toppers that are basically setting the price for foils. I don't see how foils can be less than the box topper when there's fewer of them. Mm-hmm. And if they're still staples. So there's so many things, there's so many different things going into these. That, you know, the fact that it's a first time box topper, the fact that it's, you know, that it's already loaded, right? I mean, we don't even know the uncommon, like the uncommons that have been spoiled are so good, we don't even know the rest of the uncommons. So goodness, the funny thing is all these pre-orders are happening when we don't even know the rest of the set.
I mean, we haven't even discussed the prospect of like other marquee cards getting knocked down to like rare. Wait, Mox Opal could easily be a rare. If Noble Hierarch could be a rare, Mox Opal can be a rare.
It's possible. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could happen. They did knock down Noble Hierarch, right? But Noble Hierarch was also a rare before. Like Mox Opal's always been mythic.
Yeah, that's always been mythic. Yeah, that's a good
point. I don't foresee them knocking down something that was an OG mythic, like originally mythic, down to a rare. It could happen. At least not in a supplemental, but it could happen. I just don't see that happening. But Mox Opal, I think, has already been out of the set. It's out of the mythics, right? So just looking at what we have seen so far, right? If there are more bombs in the set, $250 is like, it's not even an issue. I would be buying at $250 or less now. If there's more in the set, that's just
I don't even see you losing at like $250. And that's just, again, I don't think I will be personally investing a lot just because I just don't like dealing in sealed product. But I may, like, if I can find a deal like that, and I want to, and I feel like I want to have those, I probably won't because I just don't do that. But it just, that just feels really low. I mean, $250, like, we've already seen, like, even just baseline, like you just said, even if the rest of the set is complete garbage, there's enough value in there, like, at the top end to warrant it, plus the box topper. I just don't see you losing at that price.
You're not losing at that price. You're not
If anything, whatever, you hold on for it onto it for a year, you turn around, you sell it for $250 again. I don't see you losing much at that price.
It will be more than $250 in a year. It will be more than $250 in a year.
Yeah, that just seems very low to me, especially considering like the box topper lottery. I don't know.
Yep. So my position of what I've seen, from what I've read about the numbers that have been pre-sold, it looks like it's probably like Modern Masters 2017 level supply. And we've seen what's happened to those boxes. Those boxes are worth $300, I think now. $300, maybe $350 even. I think $300. These are as good but better with the box topper. Like it's a no-brainer to me. I would be buying these at $250. And yeah, I would keep it sealed.
Yeah, Tark also mentioned that fact, Romulan, about believing there's just one large wave and that's it.
Correct. I think you don't know with Wizards. You know, they did the whole EMA Eternal Masters thing where they just randomly threw out a second wave. But I think this is going to be it. There's not going to be a second wave.
Yeah, when they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
Don't forget these are big box. Yeah, but.
We're talking about sealed boxes.
Yeah, and you don't get the box topper, which is pretty much the most important part of this.
I mean, big box doesn't affect sealed boxes, right?
I don't believe they will. No.
No. I suppose that could factor into the number of foils. That's possible.
I guess. Yeah, but I mean, to me, I don't know. To me, like the box topper is selling the product, right? If there's no box topper in this, I wouldn't even be touching this product, right? So. Without it, another master set.
If there's no box topper, the Masters, it looked pretty awesome as a master set. I mean,
yeah, but would you be aggressively buying these up at $250 again? Like,
No. You're getting $100 of value in the box.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is that if I don't even
hold on a second. You're getting
as a threat. This product is being like. To me, it's the box topper that is driving even me wanting this product at all.
But keep in mind that at a $100 bill sitting in the box when you open it, I'm seeing way more than $150 in value if you remove the box topper, right? So these boxes without the box topper are better than $150. These would be higher than $150 boxes. So if you're looking at a $200 box plus a $100 box topper, you're already looking at $300 value. The MSRP makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
In fact, the MSRP could it's perfectly fine. Maybe it was $300, maybe even at $350, it's fine. So I'm not seeing anything wrong with the MSRP, and I think it's very interesting that they're being sold so low, and I would be buying. I would be buying at $250 or less. I think that's I think that's awesome value, and I think we will be reflecting on this and going, wow. That was a hell of an opportunity.
That was easy. Wow, that was easy. That was a no-brainer.
In fact, I would view these the same way you viewed Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition, with the exception that it's not. I'm doubling in the next day, right? You're not like flipping the next day, but this is. I don't see the difference between a $250 Ultra Masters box with a Mythic Edition card. And a Mythic Edition set for $250. Like, you should absolutely be picking these up.
But will it impact the set box toppers? Wait. But once will it impact the set box toppers later. Once big box starts selling off stock later? Three packs for $20 or so seems possible in 6 months. Yeah, again, but the box topper to me.
It won't impact the box. It won't impact. The question is,
The allure of this set. You could buy all the loose packs of this set as you want from even if the big box stores were fire selling the packs at $20 for three. You're not getting the box topper. That to me, without the box topper, it's just another master set, and I wouldn't even touch this. That's me personally. To me, it feels like the box topper is the huge upside here, and it's why it's so lucrative at $250. Because they're basically giving you that free, you know, lottery ticket, which is likely going to be roughly starting out anywhere from what, $50 to $100 or more, a lot more coming, you know, in a year or two. So without the box topper, I mean, would you even be buying this? I don't even, at $250? I don't think so.
No. I would not. But again, when you extrapolate and you break out the numbers, this is worth more than $150, which if you remove the box topper, they're essentially selling you a $200 box for $150. That's value. That's value. So no, like on the surface, I would not be paying $250 without the box topper, but you are getting a $200 box or more for $150. Plus you're paying for a $100 box topper, right? That's how I'm viewing this. That's why, like, there's so many things here that say this is a good buy. There's the first time of the box topper. There's the fact that the box toppers are $100. There's the fact that you're getting more than $150 out of the set alone. There's the fact that we don't even know what's left in the set. And I would lean towards there's probably at least one good rare and or one good mythic and or one good uncommon, right? At least. Bare minimum, there's got to be at least one left, right? You just add all these things, plus the fact that we don't think that it doesn't seem like there's going to be more a second wave, right? All that to me screams buy. Like, it just seemed like a really good buy.
$250. I agree with you, but I'm just going to say this for the record, that if this set did not have box toppers, I probably wouldn't care about it.
If this set was $250, no box toppers, nobody would be buying. I shouldn't say that. People would still be buying it. But as Bio is saying here, I would not be like this raving, you know, endorsement of this product. But I'm just like, wow, man, like this is, I'm shocked that these boxes are being sold $250 and it's just, it's like nothing. It's like, okay, cool. I mean, that's really great. I think it's really great for the market. And again, I just think people should take advantage of this. I feel like there hasn't been easy money since, I guess you could say Guilds of Ravnica, but there hasn't been easily accessible easy money in a long time. I mean, especially in a sealed product that's just a traditional launch, right?
Yeah, I mean, short of once a year with the special, like the novelty sets, like the San Diego Comic-Con stuff, which is always normally free money, and the Guilds of Ravnica, no, it's nothing is really that easy.
But think about it. Those products are not easy to get. This is, you can go to any of the majors and just pre-order a box for about $250. You can probably go on eBay and find a box of this pretty easily for $250.
Yeah, probably right now.
Like Guilds of, like Mythic Edition and San Diego, that's like, let me stay up overnight, not sleep, have my finger ready to like mash my keyboard to make sure I get one, right? Like there's a lot of effort you have to put into that for that easy money. This is like, just go pre-order one and you're good. You know, go pre-order it, sit on it for 1-2 years. Just get a box. Get one box, open one for fun and drafting and all that and the singles. Oh, there's something good to kind of pivot to, the singles. If you need the singles, don't buy the box. Buy the boxes to invest in. I'm telling this group specifically because we're a finance group. If you're buying these, invest in them to keep them sealed unless you really just want to draft it. Like if you're just like, wow, but this to me feels like a collectible that you buy and you leave sealed. If you want the singles because you want the cards for your decks, I would wait till launch and wait till around January, February when the stuff has started to bottom out because prices are going to dip. Like we're getting reprints. They're going to go down a bit, right? So I would be buying, and we've already discussed in the last cast, like what we think you should be selling that you already own, et cetera. But if you want to buy singles or buy cards or like buy this set for cards, just buy the singles. There's no need to buy this to try and crack it and just invest in this to hold on to and have fun with your friends or you like just like opening packs or whatever. But if you want the singles, just wait till get them on the secondary market.
So quick question. What if you jumped on that brief $225 deal, the Ultimate Master boxes? Is it not worth cracking them?
No.
If anything, it incentivizes me to even hold them more.
Hold, yeah. I would just be like,
I'd be so happy if I.
That's, yeah, that's going to
be good with that. Yeah.
I'll sell that for $325 in 6 months, you know?
That is crazy.
So, no, I would not be cracking the set. This singles, okay, about singles, where Cavern Hierarch go? Now the boxes are $100. So, I think Cavern is still going to be a $50, $70. It was $70 card. Cavern is still going to be a $70 card. Like, people underestimate the demand that card has. That card is played everywhere. And I mean, it went straight back up after one reprint. I think it's going to be...
With these high-powered mythics, I don't see a lot of the mythics decreasing all that much.
No.
With you. I mean, you might get like a 20%, maybe even 30% decrease, but that will not be for very long. Especially cards like Liliana the Veil. I don't think this touches Liliana the Veil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, the rares will certainly plummet. Like I do think Noble Hierarch will decrease significantly.
I think Noble Hierarch. We don't know if it's going to be
at least
we
for
know
a little while.
It's
at
not
least
confirmed
for a little
as
while.
A rare. It's we're not confirmed as a rare, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's been confirmed as a rare.
Whatever sure? rarity they have as the box topper is what they are in the set.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't see.
That's wrong.
Yeah. So I don't.
But it is in the set at rare.
How do you know it's a rare?
They showcased it on the stream.
Oh, they did. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to also realize, like, there are new. So there has been. There seems to be an uptick in the player base, in part thanks to Arena, right? I'm not convinced that Noble Hierarch is going to, from another Masters reprint, is going to suddenly tumble to like $40 or $50. I just don't see it. But it sees way more play than Tarmogoyf and has fewer printings. So I see a Noble Hierarch maybe getting to like 65-70 and then maybe get recovering back to $80, right? Like I don't think Noble Hierarch's gonna suddenly like just crash because it's in the set at rare. It's one of the hardest of modern staples still.
Look at the I'm gonna flow. Have to just edit that out. Yeah. But yeah, so that's a boo-boo on me about the rarity for the box toppers. Do not they are not they're all mythic, quote unquote, in the box toppers. But yeah, Noble Harker is rare. I don't know. I think it goes down to like $30 and then it just slowly
30?
I think it slowly starts recovering from there.
You realize Noble Hierarch is pushing like it's like $90 right now, $80 and $90.
Yeah, I think you're like $30-$40. Yeah.
Wow. That's bold. You're telling me you think Noble Hierarch is gonna drop more than half, 60%.
Dude, Snapcaster Mage was like $80 and it got reprinted as a mythic and went like and was
it's
like hit, half in price.
Have you looked at Snapcaster right now? Let's look at Snapcaster.
Yeah, I said it's going to go to like $40 and like probably rebound. They always, especially rares, like they drop like a brick and then they rebound. Snap dropped
All right.
It was a mythic.
I don't know. I don't think you need to be selling your Noble Hierarch. Well, we talked about this. Like
no,
I wouldn't
no.
be selling.
I mean, I wouldn't be fire selling them, but I mean, if you need them, get them for $40. That's a very significant decrease.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you can buy any of these cards, any of these staples for half, if there's a the window where they tank to 50-60%, I would be buying them absolutely because they will recover. They will recover most of their value.
Yeah.
Like there's this so there's this like sort of this dance, right? And you have to like Wizards of the Coast is not stupid. Granted, they make very bizarre decisions, but they're not just flat out stupid. Okay. They're not gonna tank these like they play the market so that okay, so we get some start to get a surge in the player base, right? And we reprint cards, they go down for a bit, then they go back up. Then we reprint them again, they go down, then we get some more players in, right? Like there's this dance that happens and it's by no means perfect. But just because we're getting Noble Hierarch and Liliana and Snapcaster reprinted again, that's not because, okay, great, now they're all going to tank 50%,
yeah.
That's going to be it, right?
A slow, like, quick injection of cards is better than, like, printing, like, Chronicles. Like, they can't have that happen again.
Correct.
You know, there's a 20 million purported player base. You know, even if, like, I don't know, like, 20% maybe? I don't know, like, 30% is, like, highly competitive. Still a lot of people.
Yes.
So, and
then people like just like having the cards. They like
of
owning.
Of course, I mean it's not like Snapcaster is Dudo in EDH. Like
yeah.
It's a really good card.
Yeah, Cube. Like
yeah.
So you know, there's a dance here. So there's been enough. We have enough data that shows us that these cards will not stay low for very long, and they will rebound generally kind of back to where they were, and then they will start to creep again. Right.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
until we get to
every single master set.
Exactly. And until we get to the point where we see prices crater and stay low, that's when we go, okay, wow, we must have more than we need. But it seems like Wizards does a pretty good job of managing that dance. So, as far as when to buy, like we're talking about earlier, buy this. If you want the singles, buy it probably around January, February when this stuff will have, you know, bottomed out because it's going to start to go back up. But that's what I would be doing. And if Chaz, if you're projecting something like Cavern is going to tank 50-60%, I would say that window will not last very long, and it will go right back up to $60.
Yeah, I mean, I might be like a little off, like give or take $10 or something like that, but they do decrease substantially, and then they will rebound fairly quickly.
Right.
So, I do think Noble will get as low as like in the $40-$50 range. I do think.
Right. That. So there's a comment here. The barrier to humans entry is cavern hierarch, no more. Right. So what happens what happens when that barrier drops? More players come in to buy the deck. Then you have less
those
buy.
Two cards.
And then those prices go back up. Right. So that's what's going to end up happening. So yeah, look, like I said, at the around the peak supply, which probably once the cards bottom up in January, February, go ahead and get your singles. You know, go ahead and get your singles, and then the stuff will go back. So.
All right. I think that we'll probably wrap it up for tonight, like kind of as a dual cast, kind of talking about two topics there. And as a Pro Tour preview, I will have this up either tonight or early tomorrow. And kind of strap in for Pro Tour coverage.
Yes. Shout out to David Schumann, a writer at Quiet Speculation. As you guys know, Chaz was talking about earlier, he's going to be our coverage person. We're super excited. We haven't had a QS writer be on the floor for us. I don't know how long it's been. It's been quite some time. So really, really excited. He and Chaz are going to be, going to be on it like usual. I mean, it goes without saying we're pretty proud of our coverage, and we do some pretty, we kill it. We usually kill it for coverage. So, definitely want to tune in, and if anything breaks out, we'll let you know.
Yep. I think that's it. I think we answered a lot of the questions too. Great. Kind of chat going on during the cast, always informative, good kind of it's always good to kind of pull from the chat during the cast. All right, we are going to wrap it up there. It is getting late, and we will see you all tomorrow for coverage. Thank you all for joining in for the QS cast, and Tark, have a good rest of the morning, buddy.
All right, see ya.
See you later, everyone. Good night.